Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Are you expectant?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
All
those who are our visitors, I want to welcome you. Feel at home. We are just a simple family here. Just enjoy with us. After the service, we'd love to know where you stay. Amen. So don't feel like you are a visitor, just feel free and enjoy the word of God. Where you will have a question, feel free at the end of the service to engage us. Well, we have the last crop of our visitors. Amen. So, Pastor Veremu came with Brother Hubert from Zimbabwe because they had gone to visit Zimbabwe. But tomorrow the pastor proceeds to Malawi. Let us remember him in prayer. Amen. And Pastor Hubert, together with our precious sister Flossie, they'll be going back home on Tuesday. Has it been a blessing? Have it been?
Amen.
So, Pastor Hubert will be giving us his last sermon here. And we pray the Lord anoints us to receive the word in faith. Amen. So, without wasting much time, I welcome Pastor Hubert to come forward. If you see someone sleeping, Asha, you have all the rights to make him stand, let him stand there, and let the person who is standing sit there. Is that a fair rule?
Fair deal,
right? Yeah. So the deacon says fair deal, so there's no other argument. Right, okay. So the Lord richly bless you, Pastor. You're welcome.
Praise the Lord. I hope we are all doing fine, right? It's been a wonderful time that we had spent in Zambia as well as in Zimbabwe. And once again, God has given me the privilege, me and my wife, to be once again in Zambia in Pastor Andrew's place. And it's a great privilege to fellowship, not just because you believe the Bible. It's a joy to believe because we are one family.
Amen.
And this family is not what we have made of ourselves, but this is the family of God. We now understand things which we never understood some time back. And my heartfelt greetings, and I'm faithful to all the ministers who have been speaking over the convention and sharing with you from the gospel. And I believe this atmosphere is being going on. But this atmosphere one day will sublime in the heavenlies.
Amen.
And Today we are privileged once again. We are not just gathering in this hall, but remember, we are gathering around the table of the Lord. And it's a great joy for every child of truth. I believe we agree that we are in a very special time.
Amen.
Right? This is a time that which was never ever before foreknown. But God has made a privilege to partake of this time. And I believe that as I speak these few thoughts before you, we will be enriched in our faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we keep standing, we would love to read a scripture. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 7 to 10. The book of Ephesians. And it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. May God's word be an exceeding blessing for us this morning. You can now be seated. I am just going to speak about that we are entering a new era. The title of my message today is "We are entering a new era." Now listen, that there had been many ages before, and we, according to the scriptures, we do understand we are living in a very last age of time. But what is an era? An era is a pocket of time in an age where we are made to know or made to understand something very unique and special. In this world, many ages have come and many ages have gone. I hope you understand. There were many, many different kind of ages. But these ages were by certain men who ruled, who reigned, who had a dominion. Maybe a ruler, a king, or a dynasty. But as we are in the last age, God is intending to warn us and caution us, because this is a very specific time in an age where God is actually making us to realize something that which is going to take place in the near future. I hope that we are understandable with us. Amen. I believe something is going to take place very soon. I come from India, and India is a land where there is full of all kind of rituals, all kind of vanities, all kind of people and all kind of races are staying together. In comparison with those matter, you people are much blessed. Because you have one state religion, you all belong to Christ. Though there be some differences in teachings, in denominations, but you all agree in Christ. And that's the difference between India and Zambia. We have many, many laws and rules that come out every day. And out of the many communities of people, the most compressed or the most suffering race is Christianity. We are always living under pressure. But in spite of all these things, we take joy in Christ. I believe you understand this. I love the way that you've been praying in your notices about certain many different events. The brother is going to the village and so many other things. But I also would love that you pray for the people and the saints that are in India. Like living in India, sometimes I feel we are living in a mad, mad world. Nothing is sure for anything. If next week comes and things are good, it is certainly the grace of God. Because we cannot predict, we cannot be assured of anything by ourselves. So as the scripture we read, verse 7, that in the ages to come, and I believe we are already entered into that age. In the book of Revelation, it speaks about seven different ages. Seven different ages given to the church of God. And we are in the last age. And as Paul writes here, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. What is this, sir? It is not the believer's prosperity in material things, sir. God's exceeding riches are all in his word. Amen. Amen. I seek no silver nor gold, but the treasure which is beyond that, that real treasure which comes through his word. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you today, as we come to this age of all ages, I want to bring before you something that which has already taken place. Because we learn that history always repeats itself, right? I hope you have learned about it. So as we are living in the epoch of this phenomena, that history is going to repeat itself, Christ is making us conscious because that our minds be not tempered. You know, when our minds fail us, then we land up in some kind of problem. Problems come because we made a wrong choice. Somewhere Somewhere in our decisions we made a mistake. Something that we decided that which was not according to His will. And Satan is very good in tempering the minds. I hope you understand. Now the first thing I would love to tell you is, there are six phenomenal things that happened in the Old Testament. They happened in different scope of time. And the first thing is the age of Enoch. Now the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Enoch kept walking with God. Not for a few hours or a few days or a few weeks, but he kept walking for years together. And the Bible says, to be precise, 365 years. And then he was not. Now, we have to be very careful in understanding. Enoch was not walking in a park. Okay, I am walking with God. Remember, Enoch had a great trial in his days. Because when someone has to walk with God, there is always a trial upon his life. But no matter how difficult the trial came upon his life, through his neighborhood, through his friends, through the people whom he knew, the people whom he acquainted, but he kept walking with God. He pressed on the ideals and the precepts of God. He never forsook them. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that God, let's turn to book of Hebrews chapter 11 and the fifth verse. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had this testimony. A testimony which states that he pleased God. You know, when you have to please God, you will be hurting many people's sentiments. It's not something that when you please God, you're also pleasing men. People may go against you. They will speak all manner of things against you. But Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And when did he have this testimony? After he was translated? But before he was translated. Before he was caught up, he had this testimony. My brothers and sisters, a similar situation is repeating this age. What is God looking at? He is looking at the people who walk with Him. Walking in His word, in His precepts, in His teaching, in His revelations. Because this is something which is most difficult for Christians to maintain. We can give offerings, we can come to church, we can sing and worship, but to walk in His ways, it is more difficult. And that's where we have a challenge in our lives. How to keep walking with God? Amidst a world which has got so much of crookery, so much of vanity. From the childhood till now, when you graduate, you have read so many books. You have learned so many lessons. And 90% of that is nothing but trash and vanity. And we carry it in our life, and we think we have achieved a great thing. But what is it in the eyes of God? In the eyes of God, it's nothing but vanity. But it's better to trust God and walk in His ways.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going to make it. We are going to make it. We are going to press on. No matter what kind of vanity comes our way. But as Paul taught us, we in Christ are more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
We are more than conquerors. Conquering what? Conquering our lives to be straight in the eyes of God. To get all the freedom and strength to walk a righteous life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The church is in a challenge today. Our young generations are in a challenge today. As long as they are in the church, they think that they are quite comfortable. But when they go out in the world, their tender minds are always being battered. So much of pressure and so much of peer pressure keeps on battering them. Pray for one another.
Amen.
That God may give you all the strength you need to walk in His ways. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn not to the left, nor to the right. But what the Lord has laid for you, walk in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We also read one scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9. The book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th verse. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. That which was, or it had been, is what it is going to be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Nothing is new today. It is just mere history repeating itself again. These things, these kinds of pressures, our forefathers, Enoch, faced it. And he faced all this challenge, and yet he walked victorious. It is nothing great for us, a challenge which is impossible, but we have more grace. We have Christ in us, that through Him, through His grace, we shall be overcomers. I have problems in my life. I have problems in our societies in India to live a complete dedicated life to God. It is difficult for me to live. My only hope, because Christ liveth in me,
Amen.
I will somehow make it.
Hallelujah.
I will make it.
Amen.
Because God is with us.
Amen.
And I believe the same works in Zambia. History has repeated itself in this age. The days of Enoch has resurfaced. The situation of Enoch has resurfaced. But we have to overcome. Hallelujah. And we shall overcome it. After this, we return to a second age. And in this second age, we see the wisdom of Nimrod. I hope you all remember the name Nimrod, right? The Bible declares that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. What did Nimrod do? And what was Nimrod's wisdom? And what was in favor of Nimrod? Now we know that when Nimrod's situation has resurfaced in our times, we realized that in that generation of time, the whole amount of people, every one of them, but wicked in the eyes of God. Why they were wicked? Sometimes we may think they were born wicked. They were sworn by the things that wisdom of Nimrod swept them. It is like a ship that was damaged or shipwrecked, which is beyond repair. I hope when you have a motor car, you meet an accident, and then you think of, well, let me repair it. You know, there is a bump come in the bonnet or whatever, or maybe the tires have gone flat, maybe the engine has gone down. You can still repair it. But you have such a crash, it is beyond repair. It is totally lost. It is beyond repair. Similar, the wisdom of Nimrod worked so rampant upon the people, it was like beyond repair. We see that Nimrod had one thing in favor in his time, and that was the language. And they all spoke one language. Everyone could understand. It's not only that they could understand the vocabulary of the language, but the spirit of the language made them one, made their thoughts one, made their thinking one, made them to be united at the very core, because of the spirit of the language was one. And God saw it. I will go down now and profuse their language, because if this continues, then there is a great danger ahead of them. So what did God do? He profused their language. And now this great imagination of Nimrod came to an halt. Now let's consider this. Nimrod was not just blindly or without any intelligence, was just simply building a tower. He was building a tower. But there was some science in his mind which he was swaying all the people of his time to get into a wrong occult science. And what was it? You know, he was not actually going to the sky and fight with God. But he knew that he would be able to understand the stars, understand the astronomy, understand the science behind it, and continue to work his evil influence. You must learn this, that Nimrod was the father of all religions. He was the father of all occultism. Every wrong science and every wrong religion and every wrong practices started from that man. And the Bible says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And God saw that only alternative is to profuse the language. And when the language was profused, what happened was, his work was brought to halt. And everything dispersed. If you understand the time what we are living in today, you know, this wisdom of Nimrod is once again sweeping the churches and the nations. What is it doing? It is uniting them. Uniting not for the good and the glory of God, but uniting them for their own domain. All kind of false things that are coming in the churches, all kind of false activities, it's all resurfacing because of the wisdom of Nimrod. You know, Nimrod, at the time he was very popular of Semiramis. If you study the old history, ancient history, the mother and child relationship started from Babylon. If you see the evil of Nimrod, he married his own mother, Semiramis. And all kind of occult activities started from him. The same wisdom is been now coming in the churches. Some of the churches in the West, two gay men will come together. Pastor, we want to get married. Just pray for us. Solemnize our wedding. And the pastor is helpless. Because the law of the country, if you don't obey them, and if you don't fulfill the vows and solemnization, you will be penalized, you will be put behind bars. Or your license of your pastors would be cancelled. So they are so much in rampant, all kind of evil practices are now happening inside the churches. You know, a church, like a structure like this, to be built and made to stand, there is a lot of dedication, there's a lot of sacrifice, lot of commitment, lot of efforts pouring in together, and finally a structure like this stands. And when it has stood, we believers understand the sanctity of the place. Because this is a holy place. We love to keep it sacred. Because God's presence is here. Because in this place, whether the new people come or where the old folks come, God's blessing will flow. When you come and when you go, you do not go empty-handed. You carry the blessings of God. But now this truth and this understanding is all washed away. They have the churches, and this they say this is the house of prayer. But they also say, okay, we hardly have members. We are leasing the place to the Muslims. The Muslims come and offer prayer in that place. Sometimes the Buddhists come. And all kind of amalgamation is there. Where is the glory of God? It's all because of the wisdom of Nimrod. It has so washed away and tempered their brains and their minds and their intelligence. But we believe that though that wisdom was so prevalent, God had kept some people, separated them, separated from the amalgamation of Nimrod. God kept them separate. And in those days, the Bible states that Noah was alone found righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Noah and his family, Noah and his followers, Noah and his believers, they stood righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Now Enoch walked with God. He kept walking. He kept pressing on. But in the days of Babylon, this Nimrod, when all this kind of evil practices were going on, there were a class of people who feared God and who believed that righteousness unto God. Righteousness unto God. Holiness unto the Lord. Today in the churches, it looks like it is a fun fair. There is no modesty. People have become insane in their minds. They do not know how they got to profess themselves and how they got to present themselves in the presence of God. Because they have become insane. But as we stand this test of time, we know that we shall overcome. Because the choice is whether you obey or whether you disobey. In a church, if there is a body of believers, there has to be a person who is called the pastor. The pastor has the honor to minister the word. But when a pastor is dishonored and a pastor is mocked upon, oh, you don't talk too much. You don't try to put fear upon us. You don't try to reign over us. We are all God's children. We also know how to please God. And he is dispositioned. Remember, the wisdom of Nimrod is actually getting in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe you understand something.
Amen.
After this, what happens? Then comes the third stage, the third age. Noah the righteous. Noah was a man who could foresee something. Noah was not something that he was short-sighted. I can only see what is over here. But Noah could see what is going to be ahead of time. And he practiced something. What did he practice? He practiced sincere prayer. Noah had sons and daughters. Then he had grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandchildren. He was concerned about their protection. And there was a book that he wrote, which is called the Book of the Jubilees. The prayers of Noah. How to ask God's protection upon the people. Remember, your life is like a book. You don't have to write a book, but you are a living book.
Amen.
You know, maybe one day we meet in heaven. I don't have to ask you, brother, where are you from? What was your background? Which church you belong to? Because they don't have to ask these questions. Because your life itself will be like an open book. They can read you. They can know you. They can greet you. They can acquaint with you. The reason, because you are an open book. And Noah realized this. And he expressed his concern and asked God supernaturally to protect his generation. We pray for so many things. But out of the many prayers that we pray, there is some prayer which is called the sincere prayer of your heart. And what is the sincere prayer? The sincere prayer is a prayer for your own family. Prayer for the ones whom you love, that God may supernaturally protect you. You know, in the West, there are many ideas and many things are going berserk. When this sickness of AIDS was going rampant. Now, AIDS was spreading in America. And what they used to be frustrated. There is no medicine. There is no healing. So why we should only suffer? If you travel in the government bus or a train, these people who have AIDS, they would take a syringe and they would prick their body and they will prick other people. You also suffer. We are suffering. There is no healing. Why should you enjoy life? And they would go deliberately and prick that infected needles to other people. This was a mad, mad world. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. But you need to have sincere prayer of protection.
Amen.
What does the church and the believers need today? We need special supernatural protection. We do not know what will happen to us next morning. In my life, I was hospitalized only 2 times. Once when I was in a place called Ahmednagar, and I was preaching in that place, I was suddenly struck with an infection called jaundice. And suddenly after that I felt so weak The brothers took me to a doctor, and the doctor suggested that your bilirubin has gone so high, you must be immediately hospitalized. And that same night, they put me in a bus and I came to my hometown in Mumbai. And immediately next morning when the doctor examined me, he immediately rushed me to the hospital. That was my first time. Then now when this convention was here, everything was fine and exciting. My wife, myself, we booked the air ticket. We got the visas. Everything was ready. Just 1 week before, I was preaching on the internet. There is a regular Friday service. And just as the service came to an end, something, my face was not moving properly. My words were getting fumbled. And I realized my hands and my leg also was not having proper strength. That very night, I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you get an MRI. And the next morning, I was directly in the ICU. I had no signs, no symptoms. But it was all of a sudden. If the Lord wouldn't have intervened, I wouldn't have been in this place. You know, the doctors were laughing when I was trying to tell me, I need to go, I need to go. Now you forget all those things. You cannot move out for 3 to 3.5 months. I said, how can this be possible? I have no vices. I have nothing kind of drinking pattern, the smoking or drugs, nothing. I have never been in that. But how can this happen to me? No, it just can happen. And the MRI has been showing that you have a clot in your brain. But I was praying and crying like a baby. And the Lord revealed to me, He will heal me. Within a space of 7 days, I'll be able to walk. And it seemed impossible. I just couldn't stand, move out of my bed. But it was a miracle. On the sixth day evening, I began to move down off my bed and slowly, you know, started to take a few steps. On the seventh day, I could walk by myself. Though I am a little feeble, but God healed me. And I am a witness of a great miracle. I want to tell you something. There may be many things in our hearts that we desire, that I want that, I want that. God always doesn't give us the grace to get what we think and imagine and desire. But God will give it to you, that what you fight for. He has given us the faith. Fight a good fight of faith. And if you fight that faith, and if it's pleasing in the eyes of God, you will surely get it. Amen. Man has got this supreme potential to overcome by faith. Hallelujah. And as Noah continued to pray for the supernatural protection for his children, God gave him a supernatural protection. It was not only the ark that where they were in safe, but even after, God preserved the life of the righteous. After that, we see a fourth one. Thank you. the return of the age of Joshua. I hope you all know about Joshua, right? Let's turn to the scriptures. Now, if you read the book of Joshua, it makes us to understand it was an age of war. Amen. Joshua chapter 13. And the very first verse. Verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. You are old, Joshua. You have become old. You are stricken in years. You have fought a good fight. You have been a good, faithful one. But there is yet much land that needs to be possessed. The Satan has robbed most of the believers. They have robbed our inheritance. They have robbed our inheritance. The Satan has robbed so many things from your life. Much of our divine inheritance. But what happens? It needs to be taken back. Hallelujah. Much of the land is yet to be conquered. If you see in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, in the 9th verse, the Lord is reminding him, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You don't be afraid. I am with you. What does the church need today? It's an age of war. My brothers and sisters, we are not warriors by profession. You know, if I tell you kill one chicken or kill one goat, you may not be able to do it. Because we are not butchers. We cannot do that job. But when God inspires us, don't fear, Joshua. I am with you. Wheresoever thou goest. And you have to be a man of war. What is your target? There are many things that you need to possess. There are many souls that you need to get together. They are all for the glory of God. And you got to win them. The cost may be expensive. The work may be hard. But the Lord is with us. We shall overcome. We shall gather all the possession which belongs to God. Remember, we are not our own possessions. We all belong to the Lord. And we have to gather together in the Lord's provided place. I hope you're getting it. And when we would get, then only Joshua would be satisfied. This is an era. A very pocket of time where God has given us the grace to be like Joshua. Think about a church where they are never bothered about taking the word outside. They have no desire to save souls. They don't understand the value of each soul. They don't take any measure or any steps to bring and get the possession of the Lord. What happened? God won't be pleased about our worship. God won't be pleased about all the activities, because that land which was to be possessed, it's still undone.
Yes.
We are to overcome. We have to enter into that business of war. It's not like war we do it with swords and daggers, but by the word of the Lord, by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And we shall overcome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as we see this age of war, much of the small time churches, the big time churches are still sleeping there. But the small time fellowship, it started in a house when in Mumbai we were only three of us. My wife, one sister, and myself. And we started this fellowship. It was in the house. Till God increased and made us to gather as many people. There is much land to conquer. Get your feet in faith, right? Yes, I shall conquer. And when you see that you are in that same spirit of Joshua, a man of war, not just because he hated the people, but he wanted to gather inheritance for the Lord. And that was the great task that Joshua accomplished. Then we see another age, the age of Samson. The age of Samson. We know that Samson did many great works. He was more than able to do it by himself. He never even gathered much of a team. Okay, let's all come together. But he went alone. But what was unique in Samson? The unique thing in Samson was his hair. And the seven locks of his hair. And that was the promise of God and the covenant that he had with God. That he will be able to be a good judge. Now Samson, he one day killed a young lion and tore him apart. He, with a jawbone of an ass, he killed 1,000 Philistines. And when he was tied between the columns, he broke the columns and destroyed the entire temple of Dagon, right? Oh, what a mighty strength he had. But I want to tell you something. Samson had one thing which really touched my heart. He gave the Philistine a riddle. For out of the eater cometh food, and out of the strong cometh the sweet. Oh, this is a strange riddle. They scratched their minds for 7 days and they couldn't get the riddle. Until they cheated on his wife and they got it. You know, many times today, the church, the truth, the message that has come to us, the world and the other churches say, oh, these are riddles. What are you working on those things? What are you dwelling on those things? Have a big church. Have a great healing. But no. These riddles is a riddle that which actually has touched our hearts.
Amen.
the message, that revelation that what we have received. It may sound like riddles to people. But when Samson displayed his strength, remember once he was in Gaza, and that night he got up, he lifted the gate and the pillars and the columns, and he climbed the mountain about 7 miles, and he put that gate there. What a massive strength. Remember, it was a gate. You know, Jesus said, if you stay in this word, stay in this truth, the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. The church has such power. When you pray fervently, when you rise in the spirit, the foundation of Satan is trembling. You understand? You may not be able to see it, but Satan's structures are collapsing. Why? Because of your power and strength. You know, never underestimate what a church has the power to do. When you stand together in the unity of the faith, your strength will be so enormous, it'll shackle all the chains of the kingdom of Satan. His gates will be destroyed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Jesus died, he went to Hades. And he stood there. Opened the gates wide and let the King of Glory enter in. Why? The reason he conquered the battle. He was not trying to negotiate with Satan. You know, Satan was extremely terrified looking at the Lord. He had the keys of hell and Hades, right? Hell and death. And how did Jesus greet him? Hello, Satan, how are you doing? Would you like to have a cup of tea? Come. Nothing like that. The moment he saw him, he gave one rap back to his face, right? And Satan was even more terrified. He took the keys of heaven, of Hades, right? He set the captives free. Today, my brothers and sisters, there are so many people whom we greet, whom we talk, whom we deal, whom we love, whom we share, but still their lives are captives to Satan. They are an inheritance of Satan. Outwardly, we do not understand, but recognize the destiny of their soul. But you have been given the power, the strength of Samson, to break the gates and the chains and set them free. Pray, because your prayers will not go in vain. When I was not well, my wife did communicate with so many people. People who were not even in talking terms with me because of faith, they also started praying in their churches. And God did works wonders. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Remember, Zambia, church in Zambia has great potential in prayer. And if you press on and continue, you shall overcome. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then we return to another age. The sixth age. The age of Elijah. Now when the age of Elijah has returned or resurfaced. Let's read one verse. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19 to 21. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophet of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. How long will you halt between two opinions? My brothers and sisters, we have seen God in his move. We have the revelations unfolded. We see how the ages go ahead. But yet, the children of God are halting between two opinions. Should I go to the church? I'm tired of this church. Oh, it's too far for me. I'm feeling so bored. We halt between two opinions. Am I led? Do God is inspiring me? Or just I'm going for the sake of going? But there is a Mount Carmel. There is all kind of mixtures of people. If the Lord is God, worship him. And if Baal is God, worship him. But how long will he halt between two opinions? You know, when you come to church, you don't become a child of truth. When you clap your hands, you don't become a child of God. You can still be halting between two opinions. You could still be baffled in your mind. But you got to make a decision. If Jehovah is God, and if I stand for him, then I got to profess my faith in him. Then I have to serve him. We don't have to halt between two opinions. Today we have so many fabulous churches, wonderful churches, magnificent churches, but people in the churches are halting between two opinions. They do not have the truth and the revelation. They have a beautiful choir team. They have the best of equipments. They have best of all of these things. But the hearts of people are always halted between two opinions. We have come to an age. Be faithful to God. If God is Lord, then you serve him. Don't be stuck in two opinions. You know, those powers of Satan are so tricky. Hey, I know you're a good man, but what is this you're following? Do you really believe this is the truth? Do you really believe that these teachings will come to pass? Do you think that your message will stand the test of time? See the world in general. See the churches of your type. They are all collapsing. They are all scattering. But you are still lingering here and there. Forsake it now. Get to your senses. Come out of that. But brothers and sisters, be faithful. God has given us a revelation. He has spoken to our hearts. Who can separate us? Can any of these things separate us? As Paul said it, the Lord, I know the God in whom I believed. If you are sure of that, serve Him and Him alone. Now there are six ages which are emerged together in this last period of time.
Amen.
The church is not only affected by the age of Noah, but it's also by the wisdom of Nimrod, also by the righteousness of Noah, or the age of Joshua, the age of Samson, and the age of Elijah. All of the six has merged as one. And God is giving us the grace. Just be faithful. Just be strong. You shall surely overcome. We shall overcome. There is no power in this entire world which can put us down. He is more than able. You know, the Lord in the book of Revelation speaks about seven seals. The first seal was the white horse. It was during the age of the apostles that they were walking in the will of God. Thus say the Lord, we have the eye, that what we have seen with our eyes, that what we have heard with our ears, that which the word which we have handled with our hands, we will walk into it. But the persecution started there. But they were faithful. The apostle said, after our departure, the grievous wolf shall come and devour the church. Devour the church. Devour the church. My brothers and sisters, church is the house of God. And if the church is devoured, what will the righteous do? Where will the righteous go? Pray for the church. Pray for the elders. Pray for the leadership. Pray for the ministers. Pray for the word, that God would always guide us. That light may never go off. In the days of Samuel, the light was now flickering. It was about to go off. But pray that this light would never go off from the church.
Amen.
But Satan is not only bringing that atmosphere, but is also bringing another atmosphere. This is a spirit of lawlessness. To kill anybody is like killing a mosquito. To destroy anybody's life is well as per their free will. I have killed one. What's great in that? I've killed 10. I destroyed their home. I destroyed their life. Lawlessness. The second horse that came, the second seal, was the red horse. Slaughtering. Are you talking about Jesus? Are you talking about salvation? It is not fair. We put an end to your life. And that what happened in the second age. But after that, the righteous age of Noah. Noah feared God. He started praying. He started overcome. Though they were few in number, very few in minority, but he believed God and he trusted God. After the red horse came the dark horse, the black horse. It was majority, everything, nobody knew what the light was. But God had preserved his people. Though they were few in number, they trusted God and walked in his ways. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They walked in his ways. And God was pleased with their faith. But after that, Satan knows that this much strategy is not going to work. He's going to pour more on us. Then the age of Joshua. He has stolen all our inheritance. Stolen the members of our family. How many of you are there who do not love your brothers and sisters? I hate my brothers and sisters. Can we say that? Certainly not. But Satan has brainwashed our people. They are swayed into wrong things. Satan has robbed our inheritance. But we will fight like Joshua. We will get the inheritance back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all that which, that truth which the age had lost, it is like the flying eagle. The pale horse. And that will gather all the truths back to the church. The church would equip with all the grace and the potential which God has given to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as we see, the age of Samson, the power that God has given to the church, to bind, that what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And that what you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The power to connect from this world to the other world. None of the parliament has it. Nothing with the UN. The rich countries have it. But God has given it unto the church. What you bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Hallelujah, what a connection. Like when one sinner repents and comes to the Lord and gets baptized, there is great rejoicing in heaven. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
One little soul out of the million souls repents and comes to the Lord, turns to the Lord. There is a great heavenly host rejoicing in heaven. Why? Because we are the ones who have the potential that we can break every barrier in Satan's stronghold. Then the age of Elijah. The age of Elijah is a very phenomenal age. It's turning the people. Let me tell you today, please keep your eyes open. Today many people, ministers and these big churches, are turning the people to themselves. I'm turning all the people to the Church of God, to the Church of England. No. Nobody is turning them to the Lord. But be sincere. We have heard the message. Only believe. Not the church. Not the pastor. Believe in the Lord. Turn your lives to God. He is faithful. He can do more than what you can imagine. Just be faithful. Today, my brothers and sisters, all of these six have merged into one. These six have become one. When you see the heaven and earth darkened, the clouds and all darkened and turned to blood, the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. Who will stand at that glorious time? Those that overcome. If you are the one who will overcome, you will surely share the glory of the Lord. I'm not sharing a fairy tale to you, but that which belongs to the inheritance of God. We are the inheritance of the glory of God. Nothing is too difficult. He that what he has promised will surely come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
We shall overcome. No matter how much Satan has pushed his evil influence upon the people. but we shall overcome. Because God has given us a spirit of power and grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you happy today?
Amen.
He is more than able to do anything in favor of us. He would never even lose one little sheep. Maybe a little boy or a little girl. That whom he has predestinated. He will never ever lose it. God will bring all of his grace to favor and to lead us into the right path. If you are saved, it's your duty to save others. And it's your part to carry the task of the glory of God. We are weak and fragile in ourselves. But through Christ, we shall overcome.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm happy to share this word with you. And I believe that it has made sense to your minds.
Amen.
We are weak, but in Christ we are overcomers. We are strong.
Amen.
Nothing will remain hopeless. But our hope will grow stronger and stronger each day. We in the people of India, all the saints of India, we extend and we always continue to pray for you. And the good work which you have begun may continue in his word and in his good work. Glory to God. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Praise the Lord.